Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
All right, I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to get going this morning. My message is not very long today. I said that last week, so somebody say amen. But it's meaningful. It's meaningful. You know, sometimes, you know, people are saying, I wish the pastor would preach like the prayer that Elijah prayed when fire came down from heaven. It was only 38 words, and fire came and fell upon the altar. May God do the same thing in 38 words. If I could preach 38 words every week and the fire of God would fall, then I would just preach 38 words every week. That's it. And y'all would all be happy and the fire would burn. So that would be great. This week, I want to go to Acts chapter 1. And as you go there, I know this, that there are moments sometimes in our lives, and it gets discouraging. Life can be discouraging. As I thought about what, you know, following up Easter, we're on such a high, and we're just exuberant about all the celebration and stuff like that. But how many of you had a Monday this past week? How many of you hit right in the middle? I heard a big amen. You just hit right in the middle of reality check right back in your life this week. Yes, well, let me just tell you something. Life can be discouraging. Your job, your career, your family. You have a tear up at home, you know what I mean? But I want you to remember someone this morning, someone that's not very popular. Matter of fact, Luke only writes about him. He's mentioned one time in all of Scripture. In this passage here, it's the only time that you're going to see his name mentioned. But he is a hero. He's not a hero that's known for the things that we would think that he was known for. He's not widely discussed. But yet, he has one of the most powerful testimonies that any person that you'll find in the New Testament. His name is only called once in the Scripture. But it identifies the type of man that he really was. So in Acts chapter 1, this is following the resurrection. There's 120 people who are gathered together. They're praying. They're seeking God's will to be done. And the first order of business is they're going to replace Judas, the one that betrayed the Lord. And they're going to replace Judas with a man for apostleship. There are 11 apostles at this moment because Judas had betrayed the Lord and he had hung himself and he had committed suicide, and now there's 11. And the first order of business for this newly birthed church celebrating the resurrection was to appoint a man to fulfill a role that Jesus had ordained. And that's what we pick up in Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Look at it. The Scripture says, "And therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have," look at this, "been with us the whole time. The Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness." Everybody say witness. "With us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then they prayed, and they said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. You know Justice's heart. You know Matthias's heart. You know the kind of men that they are. So show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, and so he was added to the 11 apostles. Father, let your word, Lord, let it be quick. Lord, let it be sharp. Lord, let it penetrate our hearts. And Lord, let it speak to us, Lord, today. Let it encourage us today. Let us know that you have had a conversation with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice something as you look at this passage. One of the most important offices that you will find in the entire New Testament is the office of the apostles. Matthew, or James, and John, and Peter, and Thaddeus and Bartholomew, all of these important figures. And now they're having to select someone to fill Judas's place. And I want you to notice something in the Scripture. I want you to notice the qualifications that are laid out for this main important office. I want you to notice as you look in verse 21 of Acts chapter 1, what you will not find are these qualifications. They didn't look for someone, they didn't ask this question, well, who is the best preacher? They didn't ask the question, hey, who can really, really sing? Who's a great worshiper? They didn't ask the question, hey, who's got most of the Old Testament memorized? Who's got the Scriptures really down? Who can really divide the Word of truth very, very just studiously and scholarly? Who is anointed of the Holy Ghost? Who is the person who is just, wow, on fire? They didn't ask any of those questions. What was the question that made these men stand out? What was it that they were looking for? Here it is. It's real simple. Verse 21 says that they were looking for the men who had always been there. Just the guys that had always been there. They were always there serving. They were always there loving. They were always there helping. They were the men who have been with us, the Scripture says, Luke writes, the whole time. We don't even know if Matthias or Justice ever preached a sermon. We don't know if they ever led a song. We don't know if they ever led a small group. We don't know if they ever did a yard sale for the youth fundraiser. We don't know if they did any of that stuff. Because what they did that recognize them in God's eyes was different than the things that they did that recognized them in man's eyes. They didn't get recognized for the things that they had achieved or their achievements, but what caught God's eye was their faithfulness. Their faithfulness. They were faithful to the task. They may have been a nameless face in the crowd, but guess what? They were always in the crowd. You know, that's so important because we miss that. We miss that so often. The value, the importance of just faithfulness. Faithfulness that God wants His people to have. It was the qualification that they were looking for. It wasn't based on talent. It wasn't based on skill or pedigree. It wasn't based on education. What was it that God was looking for? The Lord chose someone based upon their faithfulness to Him. Faithfulness to be there when Jesus was always around. Here's the thing. No matter how small it seems, God will never overlook faithfulness. It seems insignificant to us many times. We always like to go to the flashy, the important things that we celebrate to be. These are the things that would qualify someone to be a servant of God. Just somebody that's used by God, and we always like the flashy and the in front of the camera, but we forget about behind the camera people. We forget about the faithfulness. There's not very many people who may rub shoulders with some of the most important people in the world. Matthias was not one of those guys. He wasn't the guy that was out front. He didn't get all the press coverage. He wasn't like Peter and had that strong preacher voice. He wasn't like John, who got the best seat in the house when it came to sitting down. He wasn't the guy that was always in the front row. There was one thing that Matthias had, and that was faithfulness. And that was exactly why he was chosen to be an apostle. You see, everybody has one ability that they can use or not use, and that is the ability to be faithful. Everybody in this room right now can do that. You can be faithful. And you know, I just have to believe that Matthias was that kind of guy that he was like, you know, there may be other guys that's a little more talented. Peter can preach better than I can. Those guys can sing, they can serve, they're better at organizing better than I can, but I'll promise you, nobody is going to beat my faithfulness. I'm going to be there when Jesus is there. I'm going to go where Jesus goes. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. I am going to be faithful. And the Bible says that the qualification that they were looking for this apostolic office, was that he was with them the whole time. Now, how many of you know that we don't even hear of him until here? He was just a face in the crowd, but he was always there, and they knew it. He was there, verse 21 says, the whole time when Jesus was in and when Jesus was out. In the ins and outs of life. Now, come on, I'm going to preach just a minute. In the ins and outs, in the good times and in the bad times, he was still there. There are going to be times when you serve God that you're going to feel so supernaturally infilled, you're going to be inspired, the fire of God is just going to be burning in your life, you're just going to be in a constant state of revival, it's just Easter Sunday morning every day, and you're going to feel that, and man, you're just going to feel like that you can walk through the walls, you're just filled with the presence of God, but then there are other times that you're going to feel like Jesus is a million miles away. And that when you pray, the ceiling is about 6 feet high. And everything just bounces right off and comes right. You're going to feel like when you go to church, you're going to feel nothing. You're not going to feel like singing. You're not going to feel like amening. You're not going to feel like praying. You're not going to feel anything. But guess what? It's in those times that God allows us to walk through those spiritual valleys. And regardless of how you feel, my friend, stay faithful. Stay faithful because your faith is what you build the foundation on. It's not your feelings. There's way too many Christians today who base their spiritual inclinations and the course of their life on their feelings rather than faithfulness. Rather than saying, you know, I've made a commitment. I'm determined. I'm going to be faithful. I've set the course. I'm going to follow Jesus where He goes. In our culture, we're growing what we call greenhouse Christians, sadly. They grow up in this protected environment, and they're protected from storms, and they're protected from wind, and they're protected. They get steady food and steady water, and what happens is sometimes there's churches that create bubbles around themselves. They produce these greenhouse Christians that become weak when the sun starts getting hot and when the wind starts blowing because their roots are really shallow, and when the heat of the day comes and the hurricane force wind comes and it starts getting a little dry, those are the ones who get a little bit scared and get afraid of life. All of us have those things in life that's going to confront us, and we go through the storms. It's not the question of whether you're going to pass through the storm, or whether you're going to have to walk through the valley or have to climb over the mountain. That's not the question. Is it, are you going to be faithful to the course that God has set you? Or are you going to just go around the other way? God has called us to be faithful. And Matthias, that was his greatest gift. He was just faithful. He was there. God is looking for people, my friends, who will grow in the heat of the sun, and when the wind blows and when things do get dry, they will say, you know what? I'm not afraid. I don't have to fear. He will see me through, because as Paul says, that I will not grow weary in doing good, because at the proper time, I will reap a harvest if I don't give up. If I don't give up. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but there may be some of you who feel a little bit empty today. You feel like that you've almost come to the end of your rope. You feel pressured. You feel dry. You feel abandoned. Can I just encourage you today? This is no place to give up. It's no place to give up in the valley. Before you climb and crest the mountain, that's no place to give up. It's no place to give up when you feel weak and when you feel tired and when you feel alone. We need to grab hold of the words of the writer of Hebrews that says, we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who believe and we are saved. Because can I tell you, the valley is not as wide as you think it is. And the mountain's not nearly as tall as you think it is. And the problem you have is not nearly as big a problem as you think it is. Because next to God, it's nothing. Just have to say to yourself, I'm going to take hold of the plow and I'm just going to keep pushing down the road because I know that God's got something better for me. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. I'm just going to be faithful because I know God's called me to be faithful. Amen. Matthias was faithful. We are not of those who shrink back. In the ins and outs of life, how many times in my life I've seen the ins and outs? Life. There's been Sundays I've stood before you and I have just felt the anointing of God, and it felt like every word that I spoke was just touched by the breath of heaven. And there have also been Sundays, and I'm sure that you know which ones they were, when I stood before you and I didn't think that I had anything to say. That the food that I had been preparing ended up more like ramen than a Thanksgiving feast. And I laid it on the table. There's been Sundays that we've celebrated in church and our worship was as dead as a tree that had been cut down for 30 years. And there's been times we've walked in and man, you just couldn't even hardly contain yourself. Just worshiping God. Good times, bad times. That's life. Ins and outs of life. They measured Matthias. They said, you know, let's go find the best priest. No. Let's go find the best. No. Who are those who have been with us the whole time? Through, notice what it says in verse 21. When Jesus was in and out. What do you think about that in your own life? The ins and outs. When it seemed like God was always there, that's usually when a lot of people get really faithful, isn't it? Man, when revival's happening, everybody's around. But when you're having a hard time just getting your head up above water, that's when faithfulness seems to sometimes can check the door. Matthias was faithful in the ins and the outs. He constantly looked forward to the next moment. I read a lot of history. One of my favorite things to read in history is military history. And I study a lot in World War II eras about tactics and strategy. I'm kind of weird like that. I enjoy it. There is an infantry division back in World War II. It was started back in the early 20s. And it was actually, the core of it was made of the Oklahoma National Guard. Can you imagine trying to command that bunch? All right. Like chasing cats, I'm sure. They were the Thunderbirds, and they became the 45th Infantry Division. And that division was sent in World War II to, first of all, they had four amphibious assaults. First of all, they went in Sicily. And then we went from Sicily to Salerno. And some of you who know World War II history, you know that that was some of the fiercest fighting in all of World War II, because it was just, there was no place to hide, no trees. You're just rocks and bare hills. Then they went to Anzio, and you've got soldiers that are marching hundreds of miles and taking a few feet per day. Not to mention just landing and opening the gates of an amphibious assault vehicle, and the bullets are shattering the men's bodies all around you, and you run onto the beach. They hit Sicily, they hit Salerno, they go into Anzio, then they move up through southern France and on into Germany, walking hundreds of miles. In World War II, the 45th Infantry Division, the Thunderbirds, lost 21,000 men just out of that division. They were the first ones to reach Dachau, the concentration camp where they freed 32,000 prisoners in that concentration camp who we know we're destined to a horrible, horrible death. They were asked one time, some of the soldiers in that division were asked one time, what was it that was most important when you landed in Sicily and that took you all the way to where they ended up was in Austria. They ended up in Vienna, and they took Vienna. He said, what was it that caused you to push that far and to move that fast and that quickly? They said, it was our motto. The motto of the 45th Infantry Division is this, Semper Invictus, which means always forward, ever forward, one step at a time. If I lose one of my squad mates, I must honor him by continuing to move forward. Always forward. That is a motto that I think that every Christian could live by. Always forward. Always forward. One step in front of the next. It doesn't matter what today may bring. I will continue to move forward. We will not be pushed back. We are not of those who shrink back and who are destroyed, but we are those who believe in what we are going for. We believe in our destination. We believe in what Jesus said. We believe in the promises, and we will ever move forward until we lay hold of that which He has called us to lay hold of. Ever forward. I've watched some of you personally in your life over the last 10 years. I've watched you as some of you have struggled tremendously. And you've sat in my office, or we've had conversations over a cup of coffee, and you've described the things that was going on in your life. A lot has changed in many of our lives. We've walked through some things together. And I've watched many of you struggle, and then I still see you sitting here today honoring the promises of God and saying, ever forward, I'll continue to move on. You know, this hit, skip, and miss type of relationship with God doesn't really work, because if you're just in a while and out a while, you disqualify yourself from the very high calling that God had for Matthias. And Matthias' calling was that to be an apostle. And the only way that he received that was because he was always there, ever forward. I will always be faithful to God and to His calling. He was always there. I'm not talking about perfect church attendance. I'm talking about not in for God one moment and out for God the next, where life sets you back and your feelings set you back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. What a quality that our culture needs so badly. When we make a commitment, we follow through until that commitment is complete. When the oath is made, we continue in that oath until our breath takes us away. Matthias was given the highest calling. I want you to think about that. The highest calling in the New Testament church. And all the guy did to receive that calling was to say, I've been here the whole time. I've been here. I've been through the ins and the outs. I'm an apostle because I'm just faithful. I want you to think about that. See, we like to celebrate the big things. We like to celebrate the Peters and the Johns. But what about Matthias? He was on equal setting. He was an apostle just like Peter. Why? Because he was faithful. That's it. You don't know anything else about him. He was just faithful to the calling God had for him. Read a story once about U.S. Senator Mark Hatfield, who was touring Calcutta, India, back when Mother Teresa was still caring in those for the slums in India. And he went to the place where they called the House of the Dying. It was a place where young children would go, and it was like hospice. They would only have a few days left, and Mother Teresa would take those children. She would care for them, and you know, every day it was a new set of children because they would die on a daily basis. And Senator Hatfield, he was overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of just the loss and the suffering of co-workers and the toll that it took on the co-workers. And he spoke to Mother Teresa, and this is what he said. He said, how can you bear the load of what you're doing without being crushed by it? And she replied with this statement that's ever so important for us today. She said, I'm not called to be successful. She said, I'm called just to be faithful. Friends, I wish it was more complicated So then I would look really, really intelligent as I stood up here and told you and pontificated about all of the things that you could do and all the important roles. Let me tell you something. The simplicity of the gospel is that we commit our hearts to Jesus Christ and we daily just pick up our cross and we faithfully carry that cross on a daily basis. It's that simple. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not going back. I will be faithful. And the only way that I'm going to find out my strength level is if my strength is tested. So when it's good, that's great. When it's bad, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be faithful. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in times of trouble, the question is how small is your strength? You don't know how strong you are until things get tough. We like to talk big games as Christians, don't we? Oh, we talk ourselves up, and that's good. Because I think a good confession is good for the soul. But we talk ourselves up. And then when you talk to that same person or you call them on the phone when the difficulties of life have already settled on their front porch, all of a sudden, where's the talk anymore? Well, all they're doing is they're getting their strength tested. They're getting their mettles assured. And that's why it's so important for us to know the Word of God. It's so important because, let me just say this, some of you may be cruising through life right now and everything is going your way. All the dominoes are falling in your direction. But I want you to mark my words this day. Mark my words. I'm talking about faithfulness today. And things are all going good. The reason why you need to hear this word is because there may come a day when the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of this very message. And you are going to have to ask yourself, am I going to keep being faithful? Or will I choose to kind of do my own thing and follow my own desires? Because it's a lot easier that way. That's why the Lord's speaking to us in this generation. It's important that we become faithfulness because faithfulness is the key to every blessing that God gives you. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will be richly blessed. A faithful man will be richly blessed. So what Matthias does, this man who's this unsung hero of faith, he gives us the pieces of a puzzle that when you put all those pieces together, they show us a beautiful picture of God's totality of love and power. You put all the pieces together. You see, it's hard for us to comprehend the greatness of God. We talk about the goodness of God. We sang about it today. We talk about the greatness of God. It's hard for me in one setting to try to explain the goodness of God. And that's why you'll hear every week some little story of my past or in my life or someone else's, a piece of that puzzle. Because it's only when you take all of these pieces and you put them together do you see the greatness of God. And you'll only see that the older you get. I love some of these gray-haired saints. I do, and the reason why is because they've been down the road. They've seen things. They've seen it when the pantry didn't have very much food in it. They've seen things when the bank account was down to zero. They know what it's like to struggle. And yet, what do they say? They say, you know, I've been here before, but I know this. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen his seed begging bread. I have trusted the Lord this far. I know that he's going to keep me. He's going to carry me through. Once again, I've seen the faithfulness of God, so I'm going to stay faithful. It's important. Matthias, that's who he was. He was an eyewitness to the miracles of Jesus. Why was he an eyewitness? Because he was there. He saw them. Someone might have said, you know, I'm not sure if I believe, you know, Jesus touched those lepers. Matthias is sitting over there. I was there. Well, I'm not so sure that Jesus fed all those people with that little bit of bread and that fish. And Matthias is like, that bread was pretty good. I was there. Fish was tasty. I'm not sure that Jesus really raised Lazarus from the dead. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some of his grave clothes I use in my garage as just a cleaner rag. I was there. an eyewitness. And all of these little moments, all of the times that he had seen God be faithful, all of the moments that I have seen in my life God be faithful, God be good, God be loving, God was merciful and gracious and kind and generous to me. All of those different moments have created an incredible picture of who God is to me. Amen. Matthias's three greatest words that he had ever contributed to the Scriptures was this: I was there. Amen. I've seen it. Because a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. If you have an experience, you're never going to be at the mercy of anybody who has an argument. When they say, you know what, I don't think that's real, you can say, I was there. I was there. I saw it. I experienced that right there. You can't talk me out of it. And that's why I appreciate those of you who I've watched over the years be faithful to God, standing firm, no matter what. God's faithfulness will always be seen by those who are faithful. If you want to see God be faithful in your life, you be faithful. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, well, it's a give and take. I've got to earn that faithfulness. No, that's not really what you're missing the understanding. You know the reason why you see God's faithfulness in your life? It's not because He sees yours and rewards you with His. It's just because you hung around long enough to see it. You see, God's going to be faithful. You will not change that. Those of you who are struggling right now, can I just encourage you to know this? God is going to be faithful. I can tell you that without changing my expression. I have seen Him be faithful. You don't have to worry about God's faithfulness. He will be faithful. Whether you are sick, He will be faithful. Whether you are challenged economically, He will be faithful. He will be there always. God will be faithful. There is no question about that. Let that be convinced in your mind. Burn that upon your heart. God will be faithful. It doesn't depend on your faithfulness. It's not depending on if you're a good person or a bad, if you have a good week or a bad week, or say the right things, or read your Bible enough, or pray enough. It has nothing to do. God will be faithful. He is God. He will be God. Here's where you get to see that faithfulness. It's not because you've been faithful. It's because you've been around every time God was present. You've hung around long enough to just see it always happen.
Yeah.
Now that's good. You just keep hanging around. Just keep hanging around long enough. You just keep hanging in there and let the faithfulness of God work in His timing, because His timing is perfect. Just keep hanging around. Just keep praying that prayer. God, send the right person to my life. God, give me the right career. God, give me the right job. God, meet this need in my life. Just keep hanging around, because my friend, one of days, the faithfulness of God is going to show up in your life, and you will have no question that He is God. Amen. He will be faithful because you just kept hanging around. Just keep hanging around. I still believe that God rewards those who are faithful. And He rewards us. Similar to what I spoke about last week. God is He's not enough for just the now. He's not giving us a better now. He's giving us a better place. Jesus today is out preparing a place for you. He's preparing a home away from this home. And one day when the trumpet sounds and the Lord steps out of the portals of heaven, those who are ready and prepared to meet Him will be caught up, as the Scripture says, to meet the Lord in the air. And I will be one of those who will be found faithful. I have committed my life. I will be one of those. I will be one of those who the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful. I have determined in my heart that I will be the one that He speaks to on that day. I won't stand before the Lord because of my sin. because my sin's been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, the bema of Christ, as spoken about in 1 Corinthians, where all those who have been faithful to God, who's had their lives cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and their past has been forgiven, and they're following God, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the bema, which was a seat that the Romans used to call, that they would place this elevated seat at the end of all of the races. And the bema seat, the judge sat in the bema seat, and he would watch the finish line. And the bema judge, as the runners would come through, would determine the places that they arrived and finished. We will all, as a believer, stand at the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ, where we will be rewarded according to our faithfulness. We won't have to give an account of our sin, because our position will be varied according to the rewards. We're not working for salvation right now. We're working for the rewards that God's going to give us. That's a sobering thought. Because what you're doing right now, how you're living right now, will determine your reward in heaven. The crown and the gloriousness of that righteous crown that you will receive, that right standing, that's determined how you serve, how you love, how you walk, how you live, how you resist. Faithful. Because it matters how you serve Jesus. The Lord's preparing that place. And I close with this one last scripture. That place He's preparing, the Bible says that He's building a new city. He's going to create a new city. And the book of Revelation describes this new city. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 that it's going to have walls around it. And in this city, the walls are, the Bible describes in Revelation chapter 21 verse 14, says that the walls of the city will have had 12 foundations. And notice this part. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now I want you to think about this. The angels of heaven, the contractors with their hard hats on, the angels of heaven are building the walls of this new city. And they're laying the foundations, and they're taking out their etching tools, and they're etching the names of those apostles. Man, it's easy. We know this is the foundation. This is the level Peter we're going to write. This is incredible. There's James. Here's John. And these angelic builders, they build this thing and they get to the 12th part of the foundation, the 12th level, and they look at the Lord and they say, whose name do you want to put on this? The Lord says, Matthias. And the angels look back and they say, who is that? And the Lord says, you may not know him, but I've always known him because of his faithfulness. Let me tell you something. Your faithfulness to God in the ups and downs of life will help you one day to see that wall that surrounds New Jerusalem with the names of the apostles etched into it. And you'll be able to rub your finger along the wall that's etched James and Peter and John. And you'll find one that's also with the name of the apostle Matthias, because he could preach? No. Because he could sing? Because he could work miracles like some of the others? No, it was because he was faithful. There's no greater calling for the people of God than just simple faithfulness to Him. Lord, today I will be faithful. I'll follow Your commands. I'll be obedient. I'll walk in faith. I'll trust You. I will just be faithful. Here in this room today, some of you think that you have so little to offer. But let me tell you, you are showing so much because what you're doing is you're walking in faithfulness. You think that you're not fulfilling God's calling for your life, but what you are doing is you're doing things that no man may recognize, but God has not missed one minute of it. You've been faithful. Through the years, you've been faithful. When they were good, when it was tough, you've been faithful. When you felt like going to church, you were faithful. And when you didn't, you were faithful. I want to remind you today, faithfulness is the key to God's blessing.
Amen.
I want you to stand with me this morning. I just felt this morning as I was just getting ready early this morning that there are those here today who have just been really, life has just been beaten on you. And, you know, after an animal takes a beating so much, it's kind of like a dog that, you know, been abused by its owner. It just walks around with its cowered down, its tail between its legs. And get beat on enough in life, sometimes it just kind of takes the courage out of you. I just want to encourage you today. God is faithful. Not because you're faithful, but because God is God. And He will always be faithful. But if you're here today and you're just experiencing some turbulent waters in your life, as I pray, I'm just going to invite you to the altar, and I just want you to come, and I want you to turn it over to the Lord today. There's going to be some of you, I believe that the Lord, you're faced with some major decisions in your life. Early this morning, the Lord just said, there's some folks that are going to be hearing this message about faithfulness that they're making. They've got to make some major decisions in their life. I want you to understand, be faithful to the Lord. Your future is in His hands. It's not in yours. Trust that with Him. As I pray, I want you to come to the altar. I just want to spend some time in prayer. I want you to pray that God would just help you to stay the course, to be faithful. Let's bow our heads this morning. As I pray, I want you to just move forward. You can just kneel at this altar, one of these altars, if you feel the Holy Spirit just saying, I want to have a conversation with you. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the sweet presence that we've felt here, Lord, in this church. Lord, I ask that today, that Lord, that you would touch those, Lord, who are feeling battled by life, Lord, that life has become for them, Lord. I just pray that today that you would encourage them and lift them up. Let them know that, Lord, the faithfulness of Matthias, that faithfulness awarded him one of the greatest honors and blessings that the New Testament describes. And Lord Jesus, I pray that today, that Lord God, that person, Lord, that is just challenging, finding challenges in life, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, that you would help them continue to be faithful, that they would continue to walk, they would be steady, that they would always, Lord, be going ever forward, always onward. Lord, let them, Lord, know that you are with them. Father, encourage us. Encourage our hearts. And today as we go, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we would celebrate all of your goodness, all of your grace. And may we be the people, Lord, who are faithful till the end. We honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.